You're listening to guest speaker Steve Woodson speaking at Beach City's Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
Well, guys, my name is Steve Woodson, and I'm not the pastor here. And I'm just one of those lay leaders that loves to beat himself up and prepare for a message. You know, it's funny, as preparing for these messages, sometimes you feel like, man, am I truly prepared? You know, and I always remember this quote by a pastor named Crawford Loritz, and he said, God can hit a straight lick with a crooked stick, and so that always gives me peace, right? You guys get that? The golfers get it. The girls are like, what? Anyway, tonight's message is called The Great Invitation, all right? And if you pull out your bulletins, we're going to start off reading from Matthew. Do we have that up there? Reading from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. This is what it says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what an honor it is to be here in front of this this congregation. And what an honor it is, Father, to be able to share your word with these people. I pray that you would now open up our hearts, Father, for this message. What a wonderful message. What a wonderful passage of scripture that we're studying. And I'm just so excited to give it. And so just prepare us for it, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, when we hear a passage like this, I think, you know, if I were to ask, does anybody have any burdens? One thing that we can all relate to is carrying a burden. We have all had to carry a burden in our life and grown weary because of it. And anybody who says, no, I haven't carried a burden, I hope that after this message you will understand that, yes, you have indeed carried a burden. Maybe you're still carrying it. But that's one thing that we all have in common. And in a room this size with this many people, I can imagine that there's people right now who are carrying tremendous burdens. And they're weary because of those burdens. And that's what makes this passage so sweet to the ear. When you hear, come to me. Now this passage, it's actually broken up into two different parts. And the first part comes to us in verse 28, the second part in verse 29, and then he closes. So we're going to look at the two different parts. And in the first part, there's a few questions that we ask. And the first one is this, is what is unique about the person Jesus offering this invitation? This is Jesus who says, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, guys, let me give you rest. What is so unique about that, first of all, is in verse 27, which precedes this invitation, he says this, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. Jesus is the only one who has the authority to be able to carry our burdens and remove them. And that's the first thing we need to understand, that what makes Jesus so unique. Theologians call it the sole plenipotentiary, meaning he is the only one who has the authority to be able to do that. Now, the world is going to lie to us and say, you can handle that. You don't need to listen to this. But I hope that you will listen to this if you need to listen to it. In Matthew 28, 18, Jesus says, and Jesus came and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So once again, Jesus is the only one with the authority. The next thing that sticks out to me is the love that Jesus has for us. That he understands what we're going through. He knows what we're going through. He sees it, whether we're willing to admit it or not. And he has this love for us. He says, guys, come to me. I know you're burdened. Let me remove that burden from your backs. You know, he lived on this world for 33 years. He had to go through some of the difficulties that we have to go through. He never sinned, but he went through some tough times, and we know that. And we have an example for us in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 and 38. Check this out. It says, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Now, folks, that is a burden. Jesus is weighed down. And remember, he says to God, he goes, Father, if you can, take this cup from me. Remember that? So he can relate. He knows what we're going through. And that's what makes this passage so sweet, is that we have a God, the author of life, who comes to us and says, let me remove this burden from your back. Okay, that's the first question. The second one is this, is whom is Jesus inviting? He says, come all who are weary. Does that all mean all? Well, once again, we look at Matthew, verse 26 and 27. Excuse me, 25 and 26. Jesus is praying a prayer out loud to his Father in heaven. And listen to what this prayer says. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to the little children. The wise and the learned think they have it together, and so this invitation they completely ignore. They don't believe they have a burden, and if they do, they're trying to numb that burden in some way, some shape, some fashion. And so Jesus says, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, but you had revealed it to who? To the children. Jesus always refers to the children as being humble. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, what do you say? Be like this child. So we must have hearts of humility. Listen to what Matthew Henry's a theologian. He wrote a fantastic commentary that I use all the time, but listen to how he explains this passage. About who is invited. That's the key, about who is invited. And it's a little old English here, so bear with me. All those and those only are invited to rest in Christ that are sensible of sin as a burden and groan under it. That are not only convinced of the evil of sin, of their own sin, but are contrite in soul for it. They are really sick of their sins, weary of the service of the world and of the flesh. They see their state sad and dangerous by reason of sin and are in pain and fear about it. This is the necessary preparative for pardon and peace. The person who is absolutely broken, he's the one who hears this, and that is sweet to his ear. The person who is not broken could care less about this invitation. What are you talking about, a burden? I have no burdens. But the person who is broken, who understands his sinful nature, he's the one who hears this invitation. And oh, it just is amazing. Look at this example that Jesus gives us in Luke chapter 18. He tells this story about the Pharisee. This is what he says. The Pharisee standing by himself prayed this. So he's at church and the Pharisee's praying. He says, praise this. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. You know, those extortioners and the unjust guys, those adulterers. Or even like, you know, this tax collector over here, which we all hate. We hate tax collectors. They're always skimming off the top. God, I don't know how you bear with these guys, if I say so myself. And then what does he say in verse 12? God, by the way, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all the things I get. Man, this is a prideful Pharisee. And now Jesus tells the story of the tax collector. But the tax collector, standing off, He's hidden away. He would not even lift his eyes to heaven. And he beats his breast. And he says, God, be merciful. Be merciful to me. This man, folks, is broken. He understands where he's at. And he is broken. And what does Jesus say about the two? I tell you, the man went to his house justified rather than the other. That meaning the tax collector went to his house forgiven and justified because he was broken. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. That's the Pharisee. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. The people that Jesus are inviting are the people that are absolutely broken. They understand they have a burden, and they're willing to come to Jesus and drop that burden at Jesus' feet. Those are the ones who are invited. The ones who aren't invited are the ones who don't care. So we need to be clear of that. The third question is this, is what burdens is Jesus referring to? And the first one is the weight of sin, and we just saw that example. There's a tremendous burden that every human being carries, and that is the weight of sin on his shoulders. Everyone who's ever lived, everyone who ever will live, always carries the weight of sin on his shoulders, and that's what Jesus is referring to. And what we need to understand, folks, is many times God has forgiven us of our sins, and as Christians, we tend to sometimes maybe hold on to a sin that we feel so bad about. And we hold on to that, and it just grinds away. And I'll tell you, I had that problem for like 3-4 years. But we need to understand, if we are doing that, we're holding on to a burden. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far your sin is from God. So let go of that burden at Jesus' feet. But that's the first one. The second one is legalism. And this is something we need to be very careful about in the church today. Jesus absolutely loathed the Pharisees because they were such legalists. And listen to what he says in Matthew chapter 23. He says, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. And Jesus says, I am coming here to free you from the burden of legalism that these Pharisees are putting on your shoulders. And many times in the church, we have to be very careful that we don't become legalists. And here's another example that Jesus gives us in the book of Mark. He says, so the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law asked him, why don't your disciples follow the age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. And listen to Jesus' response. And the key to that first phrase that I read was the age-old tradition. It's a tradition, not a law of Christ or of God. And Jesus replied, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, when he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. That, folks, is the meaning of legalism. Taking a man-made idea and then lifting it up and saying, this is equal to what the Bible says. And then hammering people for not living in this shape or this fashion or doing certain things. And we need to understand Jesus called these people hypocrites, and that was the nice words. He called them brood of vipers, whitewashed tombs. Jesus loathed these people because of what they did. And then he goes on. He goes, for you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. Then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, and he gives us an example, Moses gave you the law from God. This is the law, one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother, and anybody who speaks disrespectfully of his father or mother must be put to death. Okay, that was the law of God. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, hey, mom and dad, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. For what I have vowed to give to God, or for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example of many others. Jesus was well aware of the legalism that was going on. And the Pharisees would come in, and their parents, one example, parents who were needy parents who needed the help of their children. And yet the Pharisees said, no, the money you have doesn't go to your parents. No, that's set aside for God. And yet God says, honor your father and your mother. And the Pharisees weren't allowing them to do that. And they'd put these heavy burdens on him and mash them down on their shoulders and make people feel guilty so that they would disobey God's law, so that they would obey the tradition of the Pharisees. When I was growing up, I remember when, this is back in the 60s and 70s, and my parents would tell me stories about the missionaries who were there before them. And when they first arrived, they wouldn't go to the movies. They thought going to the movies was a sin. Right? Now, is going to the movies a sin? No. But what it can do is now you have missionaries saying that going to the movies is a sin, and then they would teach that, and they would make people feel guilty and condemn them from going to the movies. That is legalism. That is something Jesus hated. We need to be careful if we're doing that. Hey, you can't watch TV. TV is a sin. Why are you wine? Start hammering people. Hey, you can't drink a glass of wine. What are you drinking a glass of wine for? Paul told Timothy to have a glass of wine for a sore stomach. But we need to be extremely careful in this topic. Jesus said, I came to remove that legalism. So that's one of them. R.C. Sproul, look at his definition of legalism is kind of what we said. When we add legislation to God's law and treat it as if it were divine law. And the third burden is the difficulties of life. And there is no doubt that we have difficulties in life that we continue to go through. And Jesus wants us to be able to come to him and drop these burdens at his feet. And I love this example here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. And this is Paul writing the Corinthians church, and he's talking about himself. He says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. So God allows Paul to be tortured by Satan, this thorn in his flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was so weary to Paul, so painful, such a burden, that he kept going back to Jesus. It says three times I went to God and said, please, remove this. And what was Jesus' response? He says, no, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. And what Paul came to realize was this, that in his weakness, when he looks at these burdens and he thinks he's got to carry it, that's when it's a burden. But when he realizes, no, in my weakness, I look towards God. And that's when I release it to him. And this is really a perfect transition for this second part of the series. Remember, there's two parts that I mentioned. And the second one is this. In verse 29, we pick up this. Is we must put on the yoke of Jesus. In verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you. So Jesus says, hey, come to me if you have these heavy burdens. Let me remove them off your back. But then what does he say? It's like a paradox. Wait a second. You want me to drop my burden at your feet? Now you're telling me to put on a yoke on my back? That doesn't make sense. So what is Jesus talking about? Well, first, let's quantify it. In verse 30, he quantifies that yoke. And there's a difference between the burden that he removes and the yoke that he tells us to put on our backs. He says, for my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. Oh, He wants us to know, guys, the yoke that I am giving you in comparison to the burden that I've just removed from your back is light and it's easy. That word easy in Greek is gracious. My yoke is gracious. And when you think of the word yoke, what is a yoke? What is yoke used for? It's used to tie these big old cattle together, right? So you can start plowing through the fields. So when Jesus is telling us to put on his yoke, what is he telling us? We put on the yoke, and who's in control? Jesus. We are now submitting our lives to Jesus Christ. Before, our lives were submitted to the world. We had this burden of sin on our shoulders. Jesus says, let me remove that burden. Instead of being a slave to the world, now you're going to be my slave. You're going to serve me. So that's what he means when he says, put the yoke on you. And I think too many Christians sometimes, I know I did it for many years. We read a passage like this, and the first part of the passage is all we read. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. I'll sign up for that, God. Give me that one, right? But no one ever reads the second part. Wait, there's a second part to it. What does the second part mean? Jesus says, take the yoke and put it on you. It means we are now submissive to Christ. And I think why many of us roll back into sinful nature is because we forget to put on the yoke of Christ. We forget to absolutely submit our lives to Christ and be obedient to how God wants us to live. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Burdensome. Is obeying God's commandments a burden to you? That's a good question to ask ourselves on occasion. If we're having a hard time being obedient to God's commands, and we just don't like doing it, there's something wrong with our hearts. Because a heart that is grateful will put that yoke on. Because in comparison, we understand the burden that we were under, this burden of sin. And like the tax collector who's beating his chest, weary and broken, the yoke is nothing. Now I get to live according to God's word. And that's the beauty of putting on the yoke. And that's the beginning of the second part. I love the example that we have in Acts, and skip over John, but look at this example in Acts. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41. They called the apostles in, and they had them flogged. So this is the Pharisees again. They bring in the apostles because the apostles are sharing the gospel of Jesus, right? They're in the marketplace, and they're getting fed up. They said, hey, stop talking about this guy Jesus, will you? And so they keep doing it. So they bring them in. They have them flogged. To have them flogged means they have them whipped, all right? And at the ends of these whips are like these little nails and bits of bone. So it's ripping apart their back is what's happening, all right? That's what the apostles are going through. They call in the apostles and they had them flogged. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go. He said, get out of here, guys. Well, look at the apostles' response. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't think that you can go through an experience like that. I know you can't go through an experience like that unless you have the yoke of Jesus on your shoulders and you have truly submitted your life to Jesus Christ and say, I am willing to go through that because Jesus went through this. And there's that beautiful example. And then Jesus, he says, don't only put on your yoke, but I'll tell you what, guys, I want you to learn from me. I'm going to be your teacher. I'm going to be your example. And what does he say in verse 29? Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Who doesn't want to learn from a teacher who is gentle and humble in heart? I'm reminded of that. I'm a coach. I'm reminded of that when I go coaching. Am I being gentle? Am I being humble in heart? Right? Or am I just getting on these kids' cases? When I'm with my girls, am I being gentle? Am I being humble in heart? Well, no, I'm failing miserably, unfortunately. But in Jesus, he goes, guys, learn from me. Now, I don't know what you guys like to do, if you guys like to play golf or what activity you like, but can you imagine the best in that industry coming to you and saying, learn from me. Let me tell you how to do this. And that's what Jesus is telling us. He comes and says, guys, I'm going to show you how to live this life. I'm going to show you how this is done. Let me be your example. And in Philippians, we see this wonderful example. Jesus is in heaven. God says, you're going to go down there and die for the sins of mankind. And so Jesus puts on the yoke, goes down there, and sacrifices his life for us. And once again, he leaves this wonderful example for us. In 1 John 2:6, it says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Guys, you know a great way to do that is to start reading our Bibles. Jesus left us his word so we can start reading it and learn how to live. So if you're not doing that, guys, I encourage you to start reading your Bible. And so what's the promise? What's the motivation? What's the catch, right? Well, the whole thing that tempted us to begin with. Verse 28, I will give you rest. Verse 29, you will find rest for your souls. If that wasn't the motivation, I don't know what is. Right? That's like the carrot dangling in front of the donkey. That's the motivation. That's why we do it. Because we understand that we're going to have this eternal rest and this peace within our hearts once our sins are forgiven. I love Hastings Bible Dictionary definition of rest. Listen to this. Not rest from work, but in work. Not the rest of inactivity, but of harmonious working of all faculties and affections, of will, heart, imagination, conscience, because each has found in God the ideal sphere for its satisfaction and development. Guys, this is the promise that we get for dropping our burden at Jesus' feet. And then out of obedience and out of submission to Christ, we pick up his yoke and put it on our shoulders and say, I'm living for you. I am going to live for you the rest of my life. And I want to close with reading Psalm 142 that you guys have in there. I was reading this about a couple weeks ago, and I thought it just went so well. You know, David was a guy who always was going through tough times. And he always went to God and was always sharing this with God. And if you read the Psalms, there's tons of Psalms in there that talk about this. And this is just a beautiful one. It goes along so well with what we just talked about. Let's read it together. It says, I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare my trouble before him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, you knew my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me, no one who cares for my soul. I'll tell you, man, that's a definition of someone who's carrying a burden. And whenever you have this struggle, you always feel like no one can relate to what I'm going through. No one understands. And David quotes this, but he knows that there's one person who always understands what we're going through. One person who we can always go to, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because he has lived this life and he sees this burden. And he goes on. Verse 5, I cried out loud to you, O Lord, I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I have brought very low. Deliver me from the persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may give thanks to your name. Boy, doesn't it feel like a prison when you have these burdens on your back? I love that analogy. And then he says this, the righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. There's something that is just beautiful to be seen in someone who has a transformed life, someone who has dropped their load at Jesus' feet and had taken up the submissive load, this yoke of Christ. There is something that is absolutely transformational. You see people like this, and you know that there's something different about them. And I know that there's many of you in here who God has transformed your life. And if that is the case, then this is my challenge to you. It's the same one that Kent gave you. Next week is Easter. Follow through on those five people that you're supposed to invite. Five people who are carrying burdens that they cannot handle, that they may be fooled thinking I can handle. Invite them, folks, so that they can hear the message of Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for your Son, for his example. We thank you for his love for us. Lord, this tremendous love that we will never be able to understand, but frankly, we don't have to understand. All we have to do is come. Come willingly and humbly at his feet. And Lord, I pray that we would do that now. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this evening, Father, that is carrying a burden, Lord, that they would humble themselves and say, I can't do this. I cannot do this on my own. And that they would raise the white flag to you, Father, and ask Jesus to take over. And that in turn, they would pick up this yoke and be submissive to you, Father. Continue to work through our lives, Father. I pray that we would be obedient in reaching out to those amongst us, Father, our neighbors, our co-workers, and reaching them for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to guest speaker Steve Woodson speaking at Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities has been helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally since 1985. This is a listener-supported podcast. For information on supporting this ministry, or for more information on Pastor Ken Sparks and Beach Cities Church, log on to beachcities.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.